Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute, which is headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith, because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And from the mailbag, we begin today a comment from Kim, who writes, "I count it a privilege and an honor to support you, as you have greatly helped on the many counterfeits that loom on the horizon. In our Christian walk, we have grown. You have spoken the truth about the Bible, and that the Bible matters. Thanks, thanks, thanks. Always in my prayers. God bless you." Thanks, Kim. And then we have Don, who writes, "I am continually amazed at the supreme knowledge of the Bible that you have and the way you present it on the radio and to personal audiences. I was in attendance with you at a speaking event in Colorado Springs in 2007, and I have learned, grown, and been blessed as you gave straightforward, honest answers to complicated questions." And we are privileged to be able to do that on the Bible Answer Man broadcast because there are people standing with us prayerfully and financially. And if you can be one of the people that touches a life like this by giving to this ministry or by praying to this ministry, it would be deeply appreciated. There are always better times to give than others. There's no time better to give than right now. We need your support. If you can stand with us prayerfully and financially, deeply appreciate it. Please let me know that you're standing with me. Even if you can't give, let me know you're standing with me prayerfully. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can give online, the World Wide Web at equip.org. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I'll send you a copy, a personalized copy, of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. If you don't have it, you want to get a copy of that. For $250 or more, the Legacy Study Bible, personalized to you or to a loved one. And for a gift, I want to send you, it's a laminated 4x6 doctrines chart. It's a flip chart. Memorable keys to essential Christian doctrine. And this flip chart is significant in that it codifies the very thing that you have given your life to, which is the main and the plain things of Scripture. And you can memorize them now because I use the acronym DOCTRINE. So you can remember the essentials for which the martyrs bled and died. You can also understand not only what you believe in this regard, but why you believe what you believe. With respect to the deity of Jesus Christ, for example, I give you information so that you know how the Bible communicates that Jesus Christ is God or divine, how Jesus himself communicated that he was divine, and the credentials that back up Christ's claim to be the Son of God, or the very image of the invisible God, as the Apostle Paul puts it. So again, for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, I'd love to send you the Doctrines Flip Chart, all of that available. You can write me again, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can contact us on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines. Talk to Joshua. He's listening on KQCV in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Joshua.
Hello. My question for you is, I heard on a broadcast the other day that I guess a buddy of yours had told you a story about how he had prayed back when he was in high school, to get the girl, pretty much. And later on in life, looking back at it, he was glad that wasn't the case. But if God's will is already laid forth, I mean, it seems like it almost defeats the purpose of praying for something to happen.
Well, no, you're not living in a worldview that's fatalistically determined. Our prayers do matter. The acts that we do every single day matter. We can't just say, you know what, I got dirty hands. If God wants my hands to be clean, he'll wash them on his own. Or he'll miraculously cause them to be clean. No, we have to be involved in the process. But I think further, you have to understand, what is prayer to begin with? Is it merely a way in which you can figure out how to get things from God? Or is it a manner through which you can develop a relationship with the lover of your soul out of which everything else flows? Obviously, prayer is to build a relationship with the lover of your soul. And I think we've got prayer backwards. What we do is we rush into God's presence. Before our knees even hit the ground, we're thinking about the laundry list of things we want. And before we develop a relationship, we're rushing back into our frenzied lifestyle. So we give God no more credence or concern or time than we do our cherished relationships. Often we want a relationship, but we're not willing to invest quality time. So prayer is not just supplication. It's about building a relationship with the lover of your soul.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Denise. She's listening on WORD in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. My question is, I had listened to Bill Weiss, the 23 Minutes in Hell, little video clip, and had read some excerpts from Mary Kay Baxter's account about hell, and just wanted to know your take on this.
Yeah, both, I would say, are not credible descriptions of hell.
Okay.
First of all, for Bill Weiss to have a out-of-body experience and go to hell seems completely implausible, particularly when he describes hell as he does, for two reasons. One is hell does not even exist in the truest sense of the word. It's true to say that Hades exists, and Jesus describes it in Luke chapter 16, where the rich man dies and he ends up in torment, but that's just an earnest of Gehenna. There's a day in which death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. But even apart from that, when he describes hell, he describes it with all kinds of demonic creatures and, you know, being tormented. This is something that's more akin to Hollywood than it is to a biblical description of hell. Hell is not a place that we are tormented by all kinds of demonic-looking creatures that are pricking us with pitchforks. Hell is a place of torment because we are away from the love and the grace and the goodness of God.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You are welcome. And what I've said about Bill Weiss is true of Mary Kay Baxter as well. She claims her ministry is characterized by miracles and demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. She claims to dispatch angels, to have out-of-body experiences. She sees the Holy Spirit as a man on occasion. And most notoriously, she claims that Jesus gave her a 40-day tour into hell and later into heaven. And according to Baxter, it's a place deep within the earth. It's shaped like a human being. Snakes and rats dwell there. Worms slither through ignited corpses. Again, a fertile imagination, but where's the correspondence with Scripture? It's a prostitution of Scripture, because Scripture gives us anthropomorphic descriptions of hell. In other words, the language of Scripture condescends to the weakness and incomprehensibility of human beings of what hell really will be like. And so the Bible uses metaphors like darkest blackness forever, on the one hand. On the other hand, a place that is a pit of burning sulfur, or a lake of burning sulfur, or a fiery furnace. The metaphors, though, are just a faint description, so we get some kind of an idea from an earthly human perspective what it's going to be like if one were to be separated from God for all eternity. So it is a a human way of describing what hell is going to be like. God is condescending to describe things in a way, in a manner that human beings can relate to. But the metaphor doesn't approach the devastating reality. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jody, listening on KUTR in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Jody.
Hi. My question today is about, I've been studying Calvinism versus Arminianism, and I always seem to have a problem on both sides of the issue. The problem that I don't understand with Calvinism idea is if man is truly deprived, which I really believe and understand my depravity, I feel totally unworthy to even be considered one of Christ's followers. But he makes me worthy. But if man is totally deprived, how can he have the true assurance of salvation?
Well, apart from the systems, and let me point out that the systems aren't the only systems. So often people say, if I'm not a Calvinist, I got to be an Arminian. If I'm not an Arminian, I got to be a Calvinist. And those are not the only two options. But let me address the question by saying, how do you know that you're saved? You know that you're saved based on the promises of God. Jesus says that whoever hears my word and receives him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life eternal, which is to say, whoever hears my word and believes on the one who sent me, you have, not might have, but you have eternal life. You will not be condemned. You have crossed over from death to life. So based on his promise, and he can never lie, you have eternal life. So your certainty for eternal life is based on his promise. If you have realized you're a sinner and then repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you know based on his promise you have life eternal. And your feelings are always going to ebb and flow. Sometimes you're going to feel more saved than others, but you're not basing the reality of salvation on your feelings. It's on the fact of his promise. He commits to you that if you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive him as Savior and Lord, then you can know that you are his and he is yours. And incidentally, then the one who justifies you also begins to sanctify you. So he daily conforms you to his image. So he is within you, working to conform you so that you become daily more like Christ or Christ-like. And one day you'll be glorified in eternity. Because right now you're just covered with a foreign righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I shouldn't say just, but the point I'm trying to make is that you are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ while you are yet a sinner. In eternity, you are going to be in practice what you are now, only in position.
What about those that say, Lord, Lord, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you?
Yeah, and I think Jesus, in a historical context, may have been talking about Judas there, who was there not because he loved the master, but because he loved what was on the master's table. So Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them, away from me, you doers of iniquity, I never knew you. And Judas was one of those who looked from the outside to be the real deal, but inwardly, he, in the words of Jesus, was a devil. He was there for self-aggrandizement, not for self-sacrifice. He was there for selfishness, not for the Savior. But anyone that's genuinely repented of their sins and received Jesus Christ can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the one who saved them is also the one who will cause them to persevere, because the overcomer is the one who is changing them day by day from the inside out. Now, you know, as far as Calvinism is concerned, or Arminianism, I mean, there's a difference of opinion on what happens. Calvin believed that God created people who are doomed from the womb to certain destruction, because he believed that regeneration precedes faith. And so only those who are regenerated or rewired are able to respond in faith to the gospel. They are the elect. Those that are not regenerated cannot respond. An Arminian doesn't agree with that, but as I said, it's not whether you're an Arminian or a Calvinist, there are other positions. And from my perspective, for example, I believe that it is Christ who is the elect one. And if we are in Christ, then we are by virtue of that elect. Because Abraham only had one seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. And the double entendre in Galatians 3 is, if you are in Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. Obviously, much more could be said. I've addressed this in various places, including my book, The Apocalypse Code, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can write for a copy at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can see the book on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the radio program and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, watching video clips, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of these new media. At last count, CRI reaches people in over 177 countries through the research materials, resources, and our broadcast found at www.equip.org. You can help too. Spread the word by posting links to our website and articles from your Facebook page and your tweets. It's all at www.equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after these messages. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple, can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org. When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets. You're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
truth and the Bible are both under siege. Misinformation, false gospels, and false Christ pervade our culture and world. But CRI stands on the front lines of confronting this misinformation, half-truths, and lies to equip followers of Christ with well-reasoned answers and resources to confirm the truth of the Bible and historic Christianity. We've been blessed to know that we're making a difference in the lives of people, both believers and those who do not know Jesus Christ. When you join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, you partner with us as we equip followers of Christ to accomplish this charge through ministries like the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the award-winning Christian Research Journal, and our website, www.equip.org. When you partner with CRI, you receive many benefits. To find out more, call the Christian Research Institute right now at 888-7000-CRI or join online at www.equip.org. And thank you again for prayerfully and financially standing with us. And now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll go right back to our phone callers. Talk next to Alan, listening on KFIA in Carson City, Nevada. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I've been enjoying your book, Christianity in Crisis in the 21st Century. That's great. I love it.
Thank you.
And my question is about the Gospel of Inclusion and a book written by Bishop Carlton Pearson. He used to be on Oral Roberts' staff, and then he all of a sudden got this idea from God that everybody's included and going to heaven.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
Well, I tell you what I should do for our audience. We have a clip of Carlton Pearson I think we can dredge up here for you. Listen to this.
Never in my life have I had more provocative, interesting conversations with Hindus and Buddhists and Jews and agnostics, and people are saying, are you telling me that I'm included in the redemptive work of the cross? And I say, absolutely. Jesus didn't just die for Christians. What's the matter with you? He died for the whole world. Every Jew, every Hindu, every Muslim, every agnostic, because your little flimsy, fickle will cannot overrule and override the sovereign, supreme will of God.
I got to tell you, the source of this, tragically, is the Trinity Broadcasting Network on the Praise the Lord program. It's absolutely astounding to me that people who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips would applaud this kind of nonsense. Because what Carlton Pearson is saying in so many words is that God forces himself on those that do not want him or those who worship false gods. And therefore, because God is sovereign, he's going to drag them kicking and screaming into his kingdom even though they don't want a relationship with him. In other words, the God of Carlton Pearson is a cosmic rapist, not only in time, but in eternity. In biblical theology, we have the opportunity to say to God, thy will be done, to become followers of Messiah. Or we have the opportunity to reject Messiah. And if someone rejects Messiah, God does not force himself on them in time or in eternity. And the notion that every single person is going to be saved, regardless of what they believe, is distinctly unbiblical. Either Carlton Pearson is right or Jesus Christ is right. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You can't come to God through the gods in the Hindu pantheon. You can't come to God through the legalistic prescriptions of Torah law. You can't come to God when you don't even believe that God exists. Because the reality is, every single person has the light of creation, they have the light of conscience, and if they respond to that light, as opposed to rejecting that light, they can receive the light of Christ. But if they do not respond to that light, they won't receive the light of Jesus Christ. And that's precisely what Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus. Light came into darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So Carlton Pearson is a man who once preached that Jesus is the only way, and now he is enlightened, and he knows that Jesus is not the only way, so he's disagreeing with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because I thought, well, might as well throw away my Bible, listen to what Carlton says about God, what God had to say to him. That would be ridiculous.
Sure, he makes it up as he goes along. I've known him many, many years ago and seen him in practice. He used to say the opposite. But again, why does he call himself a bishop to begin with? That's an interesting question in itself.
Okay. Well, thank you, Hank. You've been real helpful.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call. Boy, talk about getting your blood pressure up. It's absolutely incredible. It is an affront to God and, quite frankly, an affront to people. It is telling them not what they need to hear, but what they want to hear. You don't find people like Jeremiah or Ezekiel talking like this. In fact, Jeremiah says, "Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you." You could say the priests or the bishops as well. "They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord." And Carlton Pearson is communicating a politically correct, a very popular message, but it is leading people to destruction. Jeremiah warned for 40 years that people were to repent and God would relent. Did he do it for nothing? Was Jeremiah a false prophet? Is Carlton Pearson the real deal? I guarantee you he is not. Not based on my opinion, but based on taking his words and testing them in light of Scripture. And why do I want to be emphatic about that? Well, he is leading people astray with his reckless lies. And he is not benefiting the people of God in the least, much less the world. And again, it's an abomination that he's on the Trinity Broadcasting Network spouting this nonsense to raucous applause. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John, listening on KKLA, Los Angeles, California. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. I visited Crenshaw Christian Center several times with Pastor Price, and a friend told me recently that it's an occult. And I was taken aback by that, and he told me to call you, listen to your show, so I wanted to find out from you what's going on over there.
Well, you know, I wrote a book, and the previous caller just mentioned it, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. And you will find me writing about Frederick Price in this book. And in fact, there's a whole section on Frederick Price. He says, for example, we don't allow sickness in our home. He discourages the use of medication. Here's what he says. When you have developed your faith to such an extent that you can stand on the premises of God, then you won't need medicine. And he says he doesn't need medicine. Let me tell you something. He's not telling you the truth. Secondly, he says, if you have to say, if it be thy will, or thy will be done, if you have to say that, then you're calling God a fool. And yet, if you read the Bible, passages like James 4 or Matthew 6, one James, the other Jesus, they are telling you to pray, if it be thy will. Because they are recognizing that human beings are finite. God is infinite. He sees the panoply of our lives. We just see a snapshot. So obviously we should pray, if it be thy will, because we want the will of God. He knows what's best for us. We don't know what's best for ourselves. Let me give you another example. He misdefines the biblical concept of dominion. And then he sneers at those who believe God has dominion over this earth. Now you say, maybe that language is a little strong. Does he really do that? Let me read you one of his quotes. He says, if them animals belong to, if they belong to God, How come God didn't give them their names? Why did he leave it up to a puny man to give them the names to the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the vegetable kingdom? Because, listen to this, they belonged under the control of Adam and not of God. Why he, Adam, had dominion, not God? Adam, not God. Now that's blasphemous. A God has dominion over all the earth. He is the sovereign ruler over all things. And if you want a pictorial description of that, you need only go and see what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, who thought that he was supreme and ended up hanging out with the heifers, dew on his back, until he came to a right valuation of things and recognized that it is God, not he, that is sovereign over the affairs of the world. Now, if that's not bad enough, Price actually mocks the sufficiency of Christ's atonement at Calvary. Here's how he does it. And this is a direct quote, and it's a quote in context. Here's Frederick Price. Do you think that the punishment for our sins was for Jesus to die on a cross? If that were the case, the two thieves could have paid your price. No, the punishment was for Jesus to go to hell itself and serve time in hell separated from God. Now, first of all, every time a Christian celebrates communion, they celebrate the broken body, shed blood of Jesus Christ for the complete remission of sins. Jesus did not have to go to hell and spend time separated from God to pay for our sins. He paid for our sins on the cross. In fact, Jesus himself said on the cross, "Tetelestai," which is secular Koine Greek, meaning the debt has been paid, the debt has been paid in full. Jesus paid it all on the cross, and Frederick Price has the temerity to say, do you think that the punishment for our sins was for Jesus to die on a cross? If that were the case, the two thieves could have paid your price. No, the punishment was for Jesus to go to hell itself and to serve time in hell separated from God. And he's not content to simply wreak havoc on the centrality of Christ's work on the cross. He also portrays a completely different Jesus during his earthly ministry. He says, this again is a direct quote, the Bible says that he, Jesus, had a treasurer named Judas Iscariot, and the rascal was stealing out of the bag for 3.5 years, and no one knew that he was stealing. You know why? Because there was so much in it, so much in the bag. If he had 3 oranges in the bottom of the bag and he stole 2 of them, don't tell me he wouldn't know that some was missing. Besides that, if Jesus didn't have anything, what do you need a treasury for? And on that flawed foundation rests the fundamental faith fantasy, and that is that Jesus was wealthy, that he wore expensive clothes, and that his disciples lived in luxury. Of course, I've written about this and much more in the book Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also call 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate, and just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org, and once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Again, that's on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
Music. Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible, presented in dramatic audio theater, starring Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
And Stacy Keach as Paul.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Plus the voices of over 100 actors. Original music score by award-winning Italian composer Stefano Manetti. The New Testament presented and performed in over 25 hours of inspiration and devotion. The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible. Be transformed. Be enlightened. Breathe in the Word of God like never before. Hear the Bible come alive in dramatic audio theater. The Word of Promise.
Call CRI and order the Word of Promise New Testament Audio Bible today at 888-7000-CRI or on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
The Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers people are looking for because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers, like Josh McDowell.
Probably one of the biggest things I appreciate what you're doing through the radio ministry is that, one, you'll handle controversial subjects. A lot of people won't. They'll tiptoe around it. Then second, when you write and speak and all, you're authoritative because if there's anyone out there who's done their homework, it's you. And boy, do we need that today. I mean, every time I'm able to catch the answer, man, I hone right in on it. Because I think I can say, and I can't say this of most programs or anything, every single time I walk away with a new concept, a new idea, something that I can chew on that's relevant. And man, I love that to happen in my life.
The reality is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll go right back to our phone callers, talking next to Bob. He's listening on KFIA, Sacramento, California. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Nick. I've got a question. I've been hearing some stuff from Speaker Sid Roth I wonder what your take was on him and on the whole messianic movement. I'm, you know, a couple other programs are, you know, talking about messianic this and that.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that I disagree with Sid Roth on a lot of different issues, including the notion that there's going to be a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices. Jesus is the temple. He's a living temple. He's not a temple made out of lifeless stones. And to think about rebuilding a temple when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, I think is, according to Hebrews, tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. But apart from that, I would say that this is a man with very little discernment. I mean, he's promoted counterfeit revivalists that I've written about, counterfeit revivalists like John Arnott, Mahashevda. He promotes Word of Faith proponents such as Marilyn Hickey, who teaches people to talk to their wallets. And in fact, promoted the late Richard Eby in his 1999 prediction that Christ would return before Eby died, which happened in 2002. And I think this is a classic example, therefore, of a man who has no discernment. And sometimes it is amazing that someone tells you a story that supposedly came from God, and on that basis you turn and say to the people, look, guess what? We know that Jesus Christ is going to return very, very soon, within a very few years, because he's going to return before Richard Eby dies. Here's Sid Roth talking to Richard Eby, and by the way, Eby has already died.
Richard, you're 88 years of age now, and Jesus said something to you that gives me and our listeners an indication of his soon return. What did he say to you?
He said he would be a return. Find me alive. He would find me with appointments on my books. He didn't say what kind of books, but there's several. And he would have me speaking to different audiences.
Now, you're 88 years of age, and do you fully expect to be alive when he returns?
Sure. Otherwise, he'd be a liar.
So that tells me that he's coming back real soon.
Man, this is just breathtaking. Think about this for just a moment. Here's Sid Roth saying that Jesus spoke to Richard Eby. Jesus said something to you, says Sid Roth, which gives us an indication of when he's going to return. And then Eby says that Jesus said to Richard that he will return and find me alive, and I'll be speaking to audiences, etc., when Jesus Christ returns. In other words, he's not going to die before Jesus Christ returns. And then Sid Roth underscores it and says, you're 88 years of age, and according to Jesus, you're going to be alive when he returns. And Richard Eby then says, yes. Otherwise, Jesus would be a liar. I mean, I'm speechless. Sid Roth then says, well, that means then that he's coming back real soon, because if he doesn't come back real soon, before you die, then Jesus would be a liar. I mean, this is reckless. I mean, this is more reckless than the game prophecy pundits play, pin the tail on the Antichrist. This is date setting, and it's based on a false paradigm, a lack of discernment, and not knowing how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And I'll tell you, if we say God's spoken, there's an attendant question, and that question is, what has God said? And that entails reading the Bible for all it's worth. I'm going to leave it at that, go back to the phone lines, talk to Mike. He's listening in Orlando, Florida on WTLN. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank. I've been a listener of yours for many years and a financial supporter. Just love your program. Have to let you know about that.
Thank you.
Notice what I, in my mind, is a huge difference between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament as it pertains to the instructions that are given to his people to deal with non-believers. And, for example, the instruction to Joshua to, kill everyone in the land that he used to possess. Versus in the New Testament, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Wondering if you could help me to kind of understand why there is such a gap and how to interpret that.
Yeah, and I don't think there is a gap. The one description from Joshua, remember Joshua in a sense is a type of Christ. He led the children of Israel into the promised land, and in the promised land, they were to be a light to the nations. Of course, the problem was they ended up prostituting themselves with the nations, and the warning of God was always the same. Blessings for those who follow and cursings for those who do not. And therefore, the warning specifically was, if you do not follow my teachings and you follow the detestable ways of the pagan nations who are in this land before you, then the land will vomit you out just as it did the nations before you. But within Joshua, indeed within the entire Old Testament, is that even those from the pagan nations that were in the land prior to the time that Joshua came into the land, if they believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, they would be spared. A classic example, of course, is Rahab, the prostitute, who is in the New Testament in a favored position in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Because she believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and she and her entire house were spared. You have Ruth, who was a Moabite, the archenemy of Israel, and she was spared because she believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel. You have the Egyptians, who were antagonists to the Jews. And yet, if they believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, they were brought into a privileged position within the tribes of Israel. And the text of Scripture clearly tells us that. In fact, they were then endowed even with land inheritance. So you got to remember the context here is the context of God sovereignly ruling in the context of theocracy, God's rule over a people. We don't have that today. But to say because we don't have that today and therefore the stipulations are different today than they were then is to miss the ultimate point. I mean, Jesus warned in the New Testament in the Sermon on the Mount, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. So Jesus is using hyperbole, prophetic hyperbole, to warn of the ultimate reality, and that is those that ultimately die in rebellion will live in the most horrifying of all circumstances, and therefore Jesus is warning, look, and again he's using hyperbole, is not suggesting that people maim themselves, but he's saying it would be better. And then you have to remember that Jesus in that same Sermon on the Mount actually takes the Old Testament laws to a whole new level. He says, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Rakah, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. Anyone who says, you fool, is in danger of the fire of hell. So, Jesus takes the Old Testament laws and he cashes them out to their logical extension, which is to say, we have no hope in this world but Jesus Christ, who paid a debt that we could not pay. And if we don't receive him, the punishment for our sins will dwarf anything you've read about in the Old Testament.
Absolutely. Thank you, Hank. I appreciate the explanation.
Hey, Mike, and by the way, if you want some fuller explanation on that, if you get the complete Bible Answer book or if you have that, I deal with this in detail in a number of different entries. Okay?
I will definitely review that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate your call and your support, and of course, as Mike is supporting this ministry, we pray that you will support this ministry as well. You've heard in this broadcast, I don't say what's politically correct, but I'm trying to teach people discernment skills. Why do I speak out against Carlton Pearson? He's speaking out against the Bible. Why do I speak out against Frederick Price? He is prostituting the Word of God. And therefore, spiritual cyanide has to be confronted and identified and exposed. When Tylenol was on the market and people were dying of Tylenol laced with cyanide, we were warned, and that cyanide was taken off the shelves. Unfortunately, today there are people that are dispensing spiritual cyanide, and they're dispensing spiritual cyanide by the megadose. They need to be exposed. Not because I don't like them. It's because they're leading people astray with their reckless lies. The sheep need a shepherd. The sheep do not need the wolves to inhabit the sheep pen. That's a prescription for disaster. And so we don't do what's politically correct. And oftentimes I lose support because of what I say. But this isn't about being politically correct or prosperous or having a bigger platform. It's being faithful while there's yet time. Because people's lives hang in the balance. So if you love the Ring of Truth, stand with us prayerfully and financially and make a difference. There are very few people doing what we're doing. Stand with this ministry because we do what we do because truth matters. Ideas have consequences. You can support the ministry at equip.org on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or simply dialing 888-7000-CRI. And again, we do appreciate your prayers and financial support, and we'll continue doing the work of God as He enables us through God's people. Again, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. We're out of time. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
When was the last time you stopped by our website? It's easy to find at www.equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you can listen to past broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man, order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast, and get expert analysis and reliable research on cults, teachers, and religious movements in our world. Again, the address is www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple, can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.